Jeremy has just announced a baptism service and our sunrise service next week. And he said, confirm there are 6 baptizes. Will you join me in praying that there will be no less than 9 baptizes? Okay, because Pastor tells us that in the very first baptism of the Brethren movement in Singapore, Philip Robinson baptized 9 individuals. So, runway is short, but we pray, okay, that there will be no less than 9 baptizes next week. Okay, today, we continue in our journey in the Gospel of Mark, and we are on Mark chapter 3. So, will you turn with me to the Bible, Mark chapter 3, and I'll be reading from verse 13 to verse 19. Okay, if you've got your page on the Bible. Okay, also up on the screen. Mark 3, where Jesus appoints the 12. Verse 13. Jesus went up on the mountainside and called to him those he wanted. And they came to him. He appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. These are the 12 he appointed: Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter; James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John; to them he gave the name Boanerges, which means sons of thunder; Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Let's bow our head in prayer. Lord Jesus, as we read of the 12 whom you appointed to be with you and to be sent out, we ask that you would speak to our hearts today. May we understand the significance of being called and appointed by you, and the joy of being with you and the responsibility of being sent out to make disciples. Give us the courage to answer to your call, to abide with you, and to be sent out in faith. And may your word transform us and empower us to fulfill the mission that you have for us. In your name we pray. Amen. The Gospel of Mark reveals a clear pattern of the ministry of Jesus, and that serves as a model for us. In Mark chapter 1 and 2, Jesus calls people to follow him. And as a result, the multitudes came and they were drawn to his teaching and to the miracles that accompanied his teaching. And in Mark chapter 3, we now come to a significant moment where Jesus took one step further by selecting and appointing his 12 that they might be with him. So, the key word is appointed. And the key verse is this, that he appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach. So Jesus had called many, but he only selected 12 to be with him. Jesus didn't just preach to the crowds. He invested deeply in the small groups, in the smaller group of these 12 individuals, teaching and sharing his life and his life and his life experiences with them. With him is a discipling principle that Jesus practiced. A disciple is not only a pupil, but an adherent, meaning he adheres to the teaching, the whole teaching of the master. And so, disciples, they are imitators of their teacher. Mark 3:14 specifically refers to the appointment of the 12 in whose lives the Lord would spend time with in order to make them into disciples and beyond, to be disciple makers as well. And inspired by this Jesus example, this is also the third BC value. So if you have your newsletter with you, turn to this. And the third BC value is this, that I am a disciple and I make disciples. Do you know that being a disciple of Jesus and a disciple maker actually glorifies the Father? John says this from John chapter 15, verse 8. He says, "This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." So when we are a disciple of Jesus and we make disciples, we glorify the Father. So how many of you want to glorify the Father? Say amen. 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 Then this is what John says. That is to the Father's glory. In fact, it's Jesus who says this. Okay, recorded by John. "This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." Mark presents this pattern of discipleship by Jesus as one we should follow in our discipleship journey. We see from the Gospel of Mark that Jesus's ultimate goal in discipleship wasn't just to have followers, but to produce people who would be sent out to preach the gospel, to make disciples, and to establish a church. And all these 12 men, they transformed by the time with Jesus. They spent 3 years with Jesus. They went on to change the world. After Jesus ascended to heaven, they fanned out and they brought the message of salvation and they established the early church in those days. And as we follow Jesus, let us be inspired in the way that Jesus has shown us how to emulate him, to select and invest our time to disciple our 12 and begin a chain of spiritual generation. So, is there a difference between calling and appointing? In Mark chapter 1 and 2, Jesus called. He called many. He called them to follow him. And many came. But in Mark chapter 3, it was a calling out of those he had selected and those he wanted, and to appoint them as disciples. The appointment of the 12 in Mark chapter 3 verse 14 is a specific invitation to become a part of his team. And the Lord is showing us what we should do to follow his example and prioritize on his way of disciple making. We are to engage in calling everyone to follow Jesus, but to select a smaller group of 12 to be with us by a personal invitation, and that when they avail themselves to us as a disciple maker, we will invest our time to show them the way. The purpose of Jesus appointing the 12 was actually twofold. The first one is that they be with him. This be with him principle of discipleship making is very pronounced. And then it's about the disciples being called, the ones that have been called out. And as they make themselves available, then that's when they fulfill the requirement to be appointed. And Jesus shows us how he develops his 12 by mentoring them, by modeling, by building spiritual habits in their lives, and also in giving them practical training. So, in mentoring, Jesus guided his disciples through hands-on experience, teaching them and coaching them how to do things, how to pray, how to help others, how to teach. And he provided opportunities for them to learn, practice, and to grow in their faith and ministry skills. In modeling, Jesus displayed his Christ-like character, impacting upon them godly values and behavior. And he showed them what it means to live a life of compassion, humility, and integrity, and to complete all with the full obedience to God. And in the process of building spiritual habits, Jesus modeled how to pray, how to read the word, and how to teach and impart these teachings to others. And Jesus provided a lot of practical training for them. So for 3 whole years under his discipleship, Jesus showed them how and provided them with practical training. And the second objective is to send them out. To send them out for what? To preach, to heal, and to drive out demons. And we see from the book of Mark, from the Gospel of Mark itself, that the 12 received many practical lessons on these twofold objectives. In the area of preaching, there are many instances where we are told in Mark's Gospel of Jesus teaching the Gospel of the Kingdom of God in Mark chapter 1. He taught about the parables by the sea when he teached the multitudes in Mark chapter 4. And Jesus taught the crowds about the kingdom in Mark chapter 6. And in all this, the disciples were there with him. And then, I suppose, they too, because it's such a crowd, they too will have small groups after that. And the disciples will be the ones who will be taking the small groups. Then, about healing, the Bible records, in fact, Gospel of Mark itself recorded many practical lessons on this healing. And so we see the example that we have covered in Mark chapter 2 on the healing of the paralytic, where the four men lowered, remember, the four men lowered the paralytic from the roof down. And then Mark chapter 3, this chapter that we are on today, verse 1 to 6, speaks about Jesus healing the man with the withered hand. So, and in the process of healing the man with the withered hand, he also taught the lesson that he is Lord of the Sabbath. So even in the healing ministry, he brought in elements of teaching the word. And then in Mark chapter 8, we see the blind man at Bethsaida being healed by Jesus. Then, in driving out of demons, there are at least 3 instances in Mark that speaks of Jesus casting out demons. The first one is the evil spirit, casting out the evil spirit in the synagogue in Mark chapter 1. And also Mark chapter 1 verse 34 speaks of Jesus casting out many demons. So many demons were cast out, and that's what that verse says. And then in Mark chapter 5, when we come to Mark chapter 5, you see Jesus, after a long day of teaching, he crossed the lake to the other side of the lake where he ministered to this man from Gerasim. And this man who was possessed by a legion means thousands, okay? There were thousands of demons in this man. And so the demon identified themselves as the legion. So Jesus cast out the legion. And then what happened? They all went into the pig. And the pig ran havoc, dive into the lake, and all got drowned. About 2,000 of them. So, the disciples in all this, it was a practical training for the disciples, and they learned all this. So, let me share with you about how I was discipled or plunged into deliverance ministry. And this was 30 years ago, in September of 1994. I was witnessing to a polytechnic student who was actually undergoing a turmoil in his life. And then as I was pacing him and I was witnessing to him, he came to the point where he was about to pray to receive Jesus. And then something happened. He manifested. And I didn't know what to do. And that was the time when I was in another church, and at that time, that church was not into deliverance ministry. Now they are. And so I couldn't get any help from any of my leaders. And so for one whole month, I was struggling with this issue. And a pastor from FCBC came to know of my plight, and he invited me to get crash into the final day session workshop of a deliverance ministry session that they were having. And so I remember it was a Saturday afternoon. I gatecrashed into this premise at Marine Parade. And in this hall, the leaders were teaching how Jesus cast out demons and how they now, in the name of Jesus, also cast out demons. And there was a live demonstration. They brought in a girl who was demon-possessed, and they did the ministry. And so I was observing. It was a learning journey for me. I was being discipled in that sense. And so at the end of that session, at altar call, I went up to be prayed for. And then I remember, I think three leaders, it must be elders of the church, they prayed for me, anointed me with oil, so much oil that it dripped all over my face. And then one of them gave a prophetic word, said, "May the Lord use you. May you walk the extra mile for the Lord Jesus to fulfill his mission." Wow, that was a prophetic word for me. And then, you know, when he said that, you remember this was 30 years ago, so I was half as old as I am now, or looking half as young, perhaps. Paul said this to Timothy. He said this to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. He said this, and I read, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young." So young people, when you ask, when Jesus calls you, remember, don't let people look down on you because you are young. "But set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity." And verse 14 says, "Do not neglect your gift, which was given to you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you." So, they laid their hands on me, and so I received it. But little did I know that it would be fulfilled so soon. That same weekday, this boy, his mother, called me. I was in my office and said, "Mr. Tan, you must come. My son, he manifested and it's very scary. He was, armed himself with a metal rod. He was banging against the metal grill. And later on when I was there, I really saw the metal grill of the HDB flat being dented and so on." And so here I was. If you were me, would you be frightened? Sure. I was very frightened. And I was told in that session that when you do a deliverance ministry, have one more person with you, you know, so you can be watching out for each other. And I tried to call help, but it was a working day and I couldn't get help. But I was compelled. I felt compelled that I have to go and respond to this emergency. And so the Lord gave me enough faith and courage. And so I straight away went to his flat in Clementi. And then I didn't know what to expect. It was going to be my first deliverance session ministry. So I went in and praise the Lord. This boy, this teenager, he was suddenly very, very timid. He was incredibly timid. And, you know, it was as if when I entered, it was like some bright light. And he sat on his bed and he was just looking down, refusing to look up. And so what I did was I just prayed. I prayed in the name of Jesus to cast out. And it was this same Bible that I brought along. So you see, very well used, but, you know, very precious to me. It was this Bible that I brought along and I quoted from relevant verses. How I got those verses, I didn't know. I didn't know how. I didn't prepare for those verses to be declared. But as I opened the Bible, the words just came. And I released declaration words of healing, of casting out demons, about 12 verses in all. But nothing seemed to be happening. That boy was just seated down, feeling very intimidated. And at the session, they told me, when you cast out demons, don't close your eyes. Look at the person in the eyes. But he was looking down. So I bent down and I looked. And then I saw his eyes ran to the other side until I could only see the white part. And I continued to pray. And then in the end, I told the mother, I said, Madam Tan, I've done what I could. I've prayed for him. You just monitor him. And monitor him. And I went back. And then, a few days' time, I saw this teenager walking back to Poly as if nothing happened to him. He was delivered. Praise the Lord. Yeah. And you know what? As I reflected, I said, oh, God knows. It was the first time I was doing it all by myself, alone, but he was with me, right? And so he prevented all those things from happening. The demons quietly left. Wow. Then, after this, I felt a calling. And so and that was when, in January 1995, I joined BC to be discipled here by senior pastor and to be set out to serve. And so that was what I did, January 1995. I joined BC. And then, so I came under pastor's training. And then, shortly after that, I joined pastor in his ministry to Hong Kong, to the Hong Kong church. Today, pastor and Pastor Kin, they are not here because they are in Hong Kong ministering. So I joined him. And then in the process, I learned a lot because it's a process of discipling. And he by example, I see what he does and so on. And there was one instant where in those days, there were a lot of deliverance cases in BC, Hong Kong. And in one of those cases, it was a whole day session of teaching. And then when we rounded up, we finished the teaching for the day, somebody brought a man to be ministered to. And this man had a kung fu spirit. And pastor spoke about him about last month, right? Huh? Okay, so I was there with him. And so this kung fu spirit, very strong spirit, very stubborn spirit. And so pastor took the lead. He was ministering. And it went all the way actually to past midnight. And then in one instance, pastor asked me, there were actually four of us who accompanied him, and pastor asked me, okay, Roland, you take over. Oh, take over. Okay. So I said, oh, in my heart, I said, oh, I think pastor must be tired. So, okay, I take over. So I did what I was taught. I said, in the name of Jesus and so on. And then I chanced to look up. And I saw from the corner of my eyes, I saw Pastor actually was not resting. He was seated in one corner and he was fervently praying for us. So that was when I realized that actually Pastor was giving me an opportunity to take charge. But behind it, he was praying fervently behind me and praying for me. And so that's how it went. It was a discipleship model that Jesus showed and how Pastor also emulate. And that's how I was trained. And so by the next time we went to Hong Kong, I took the lead. Pastor didn't come at that time. So it gave me the confidence through the practical training that Pastor gave. In the end, it helped me to grow in my confidence. But in all this, I know that it's not about the bravery of the person. Well, gung-ho, you come and fight with the demon. It's not that. It's not the personal bravery of the person. But it's about us relying on the empowerment of the Lord Jesus that he gave us to cast out demons. So it's all about being empowered by Jesus. And in the process of discipling, we help each other grow, and that's how it is. So imagine if the 12 had not taken up their role to be set out, we wouldn't be having the church today. Right? It was because they set out and they established churches, they do discipling and so on, that it went on and on all the way until today. So they actually fanned out to the nations, right? That's what we saw. And in so doing, actually, they fulfilled Jesus' commandment. It was a commission given to them and to all of us. Okay? Matthew 28 says this of the Great Commission. As Jesus was being ascended to heaven, he gave this commission to us. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you to the end of the age. So that was a commission that Jesus gave, and that commission is upon us too. Right? So what happened? Let's take a look at how Jesus chose his 12. First, Jesus prayed all night. How do I know this? We cross-reference to Luke 6, verse 12. It's about the same situation where Jesus was about to appoint his 12. And the night before, he prayed all night. Luke says, one of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spend the night praying to God. So why did Jesus spend the whole night praying to God? Because it's a very important decision that he's making, and he wants to be guided by the Holy Spirit as to who to choose, and once he's got the answer, then those are the people that he wants. Okay? So here, Jesus was operating as the Son of Man, not as a Son of God. So he's operating as a Son of Man. And so he prayed, relying upon the Holy Spirit's guidance. And so, what it shows me is that Jesus did not just randomly pick people, but he committed the matter to the will of God, and then got the answer as to who to select. And once he's got the answer, the passage that we have read is that he wanted them. He wanted them because God has placed these people into his heart and he wanted them. And this is a very important principle I'll come back to it again later. Of wanting to have your 12, of wanting to have this person, because the Lord tells you this is the person. And so Jesus chose, he wanted them, and then he, verse 13, our key verse, said that Jesus went up on the mountainside and he called, in other words, invited them, those he wanted. So, the next point that I would like to make is that the availability is very important. So, although Jesus wanted, but he did not force it upon them, is the appointment will be subject to the person's availability. So, the person being called must himself be available and want to be discipled and want to receive the training. So, in my case, concerning the deliverance ministry, I wanted to be taught how to do it because it was a desperate need for me so that I can save this boy. And in fact, I felt very guilty at that time. I witnessed to him and then he manifested. Scary, right? Yeah. So you must be available. And so what the verse says that those he called came to him. So he called them and they came to him, indicating their availability and willingness to follow after him and to be with him and to be taught by him. And that's what they did for 3 whole years. So, who did Jesus call to be his 12? See on the screen? They are ordinary people. Ordinary in the sense that they had been people that as Jesus walked along the way, he called them. As he walked by the beach, he called those fishermen. And so he called many others, right? So they were ordinary people in that sense. And so we take a look at how ordinary Peter, Matthew, and John they were. And so for John, as a fisherman, John was an ordinary working class individual. But his bold personality, he was nicknamed what? Sons of Thunder, right? It could be seen as a flaw, right? Sons of Thunder, wow. Very frightening to be with. At any time, he can explode. But then what it shows us is that in spite of the flaw, Jesus can still use us. And so, Jesus can use even imperfect people. Transform them to become what he wants them to be. And then Peter, he was also a fisherman. Ordinary in the sense that fishing was his living. But Peter, he was very impulsive. Impulsive, but also having strong faith. And so, Jesus transformed him. And in the later time, he became a leader. He became the leader. So ordinary people can be equipped to become key leaders. So, and Matthew was a tax collector. Very unpopular. Matthew was so unpopular that people actually shunned him due to the nature of his job. But Jesus saw the potential in him and chose him. So, it shows that God can use anyone regardless of our background or occupation or the way we are now. Available to Jesus to be transformed, Jesus can use us and even to be a disciple maker. So, what can we learn from Jesus' selection of the 12? And so these are my key takeaways. That firstly, we must want our 12. And to make a commitment to the people that you are calling to be your disciple, to avail yourself, and also not only to make that commitment, but we must actually want it to happen. And so, when I was preparing this sermon, this one thing, the person, was a rhema word for me. You know, sometimes we habitually we are okay. If you are prepared, join me. If you are not prepared, I'm also not prepared. You know, it's that kind of a feeling, right? Sometimes, but this verse spoke to me that you must want the person, and you must sincerely declare it. And soon after that, what happened was I received a text message from a person who said that this person has been following online sermons from mostly BBTC and occasionally from BC. And so he tells me that he cannot attend church regularly because of his shift work. So at the most, maybe once a month. And so he tells me that he wants to get baptized to be identified with the church. And he tells me that it's between BBTC and our church. And he said, maybe BBTC better. Why? Because they got more services. Services on Saturday, services on Sunday, and so on. And so more likelihood of him being able to attend church. So that was the reason. I said, oh, good. That means he's really wanting to attend church, right? Not to skip church. Not to say, oh, okay, I attend church once a month, it's okay. After all, I'm working. Yeah. But he really wants. So I told him, I said, hey, my church, although one service now, in 2 years' time when we have a big sanctuary, we also will have many services. And I said, okay, but you know what? I really want you. I said, I want you, I invite you to come to be baptized in my church. And I want you, and I'm committed to this, to, I didn't say disciple, I'm committed to see to your spiritual growth. What I mean is, because he may not understand the word, may frighten him off, right? And I want to see to your spiritual well-being. I give you my commitment. And you know, what he told me after that was that really touched his heart. And after he went home, he texted me a message and said, I want to be baptized in your church. But your baptism is on the 6th of July. It's my working day. I will ask my boss. So he submitted an application for swap in duty and he got it. Rejoicing. Then I said, oh, okay, good. Then after that, how about the 13th, the week after that? Because the week after that, when we all come back, we'll be having the Holy Communion. So instead of the first Sunday of the month, because we'll be at the beach, we postpone it to the next week. So next month we'll be having on the 13th. And so on the 13th, I said, are you working? Then he checked and said, oh, I'm working. So I said, oh, it's the first opportunity for you to participate at the Lord's table, to partake of the Holy Communion. So I hope you can be there. So now he's applying for a change of duty again on the 13th and pray that he gets it. Because it's really in his heart that he wants to be here to partake of the first Holy Communion for him in this church. So, and in sharing this, you know, last week after Jackie gave the sermon, we were all touched by his message. And then, so at a small group time, we discussed and we were quite touched about what Jackie told us, that pastor regularly invites people on a day-to-day basis in the shipyard. When he goes to the shipyard for his work, he will chance upon somebody and he will say, find a way to invite the person. So one of the way that pastor did was, there was this man. And so, on a quick conversation, he found out that the man has got two teenage children. Primary school children. And then, so pastor said, oh, then you should bring your two children to our CK, or to our program. And then from there on, so that's how he leads on to invite somebody. So at the end of the small group, we challenge each other. We say, okay, we will get into this habit of inviting people. Build this habit of inviting people. Invite them to your cell group. Invite them to your interest group. And it so happened that following yesterday, we have a monthly walk organized by Joseph Sell. Okay, and so the whole net is invited. Whoever wants to come, you also can invite your friends. So we say, okay, invite them to this walk. Invite them to the church. Invite them to the baptism service. And next week we come back, that's today, we come back and this small group, they're supposed to report. They are whether successful or not successful, just report what happened. I hope they remember to do it. Okay? But don't come back to report that I did not do anything. Okay? And so, today I stand here, I'm reporting to this small group that I attended, because maybe afterwards I'll be attending another small group, that I did my part. On Monday, I invited this person, not just to invite him to the church, not just to invite him to the baptism service, but to invite him to be baptized. Wow. So, by the grace of God, he said yes. Okay. Then, the next thing is the key takeaway is about praying. Seek God's guidance and wisdom in decision making. And this actually applies to any major decision that you want to make, right? Whether it's in selecting people for your 12, or whether it's selecting important things, important decisions, bring it before the Lord in prayer to seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Okay? And so in this case, it shows an intentionality of your wanting the 12 by submitting to the Lord to ask who your 12 should be. And then, from there on, to start the chain of spiritual generations. It's stuck. Can I have the next slide? Okay, so slide number 11. Okay. So, the selection process reveals three key principles. And one is about availability. Availability is a precondition for the ministry. Availability of the ones that you are choosing, and availability in you yourself as the disciple maker. So, availability. And then, the next principle is that belief. The previous slide, please. To believe that ordinary... slide 11. To believe that ordinary people can be empowered. Okay? Just like those ordinary fishermen, they were empowered. Their lives were transformed. And we saw what they did after that. And then, the goal to be set out, that each disciple to reach out to make disciples and to continue on the chain of spiritual generations, on the chain of disciple making. Thanks, Jackie. So let's take a look. So you have seen this before, right? So this was what happened. You can see Jesus discipled John, and later on, after Jesus' ascension, John moved out and he started a church, and he discipled Polycarp, and then Polycarp discipled Irenaeus. So that's the way things happen. Yeah. So the disciples fanned out, and then they were the ones who started the early church. So this was the example of John. Polycarp was actually early church bishop, right? And then Irenaeus and so on. And all these were actually the great leaders in the early church. Then, let's take a look. Jesus discipled Peter. Peter then discipled Mark, who then discipled others in the early church community, such as those in Alexandria and perhaps Rome as well. And then we have Jesus appearing to Paul. Paul became a very influential person in the Word of God. In fact, he wrote at least 13 or 14 of the books in the Bible. And Jesus, Paul, he was actually Saul before that. And he was persecuting the church. He was going after all the church leaders, all the believers. He was actually persecuting them. And then one day on the road to Damascus, Jesus appeared. Jesus has resurrected, he has been ascended to heaven. And then Jesus appeared to him. And then he said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Okay. So Jesus said, "Why are you persecuting me?" So know this. When people persecute a believer, Jesus says, "They are persecuting me." So Jesus said, "Why are you persecuting me?" And then, so Saul said, "Who are you, Lord?" Okay, then to cut the long story short, you can read it in the book of Acts. What happened was, as a result of that incident, Saul received a massive cataract. There was scales on his eyes, and he was blinded. And so he took refuge in a place. For 3 days he was blinded, and he prayed. And the Lord sent Ananias to heal him and to baptize him after that. And so Paul grew in the knowledge of God. And also Barnabas came along to help him. So Paul was ministered to, he was a disciple. And very quickly, he became a leader himself, and he began to disciple many, including Timothy, the passage that I read earlier from 1 Timothy chapter 4. It shows that Paul also discipled Timothy. And then Timothy discipled others, such as those in Ephesus. And then, in the case of Thomas, and it said that Thomas is the one who actually went to India and started the church there. Okay, so Thomas discipled Thaddeus and sent him to preach the gospel in Edessa. Edessa is a city in Turkey, in modern day Turkey. And Thaddeus disciples others in that region and also further east. So you see how powerful this model that Jesus has shown us, that in the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, when we become a disciple of Jesus, we begin to be a disciple maker, we disciple others, and they will disciple others, extending the chain of spiritual generation. So, as we go through this, the Word of God today, concerning how Jesus chose his 12, I hope that we will be spurred into ourselves be able to declare our third BC value. That what? I'm a disciple and I make disciples. And because this glorifies the Father. So with this, can we bow our heads as I close in prayer. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that has spoken to us today. And as we reflect on Mark chapter 3, verse 14, that says that you, O Lord Jesus, you appointed 12 to be with you and to be sent out to preach, we are reminded of the call to be disciple makers. And we pray that you will empower us to answer to this call, to make disciples, disciples of all nations, and to spread the good news of Jesus Christ to all around us. May we be intentional in our relationships, investing in the lives of others, and sharing the love and truth of Christ with them. And as we look at the selection of our 12, we see the importance, Lord, of looking at how you do it. Lord, we see the importance of being chosen ourselves and to be appointed for a purpose. And that, Lord, as you choose us,
may we be available always. May we understand that we too, Lord, as you choose us, and that you appoint us
to fulfill a specific role in your kingdom. Lord, help us to learn from Jesus' selection of his 12. May we see the value in investing in our 12, in being intentional, and that, Lord, in having been empowered, that we too empower others in the name of Jesus. Give us the courage to step out in faith, to trust in your sovereignty, and to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, may BC members here be a community of disciple makers, where people are encouraged, equipped, and sent out to make a difference in the world. We ask this in the precious name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.